Yeah. Are there any questions there?
Just a few words, because...
Yeah, I just wanted to... What was your name, the man who stood up about... What?
Kieran.
Just actually on that, I do actually believe that there's a great opportunity being missed at the moment of the Christians uniting both North and South, where we've been very, very divided. Because for the first time, I mentioned my talk. Sorry, by the way, I went on a bit. But I mentioned in my talk that things weren't perfect in the past down here, nor were they perfect up in the north. But actually, things have actually improved greatly, actually, since the Good Friday Agreement. And in many ways, we have actually an understanding, actually, of the Northern Protestants. And many of them have actually a greater understanding of Catholics and so on. And in evangelisation, the ideal actually is that all Christian groups, Christ said that we all be one. And in many ways, at the moment, there is actually, it's very sad that the major nationalist party in the north has adopted the modern agenda, the secular humanist agenda that's been invading Europe since the French Revolution for the last year. They're against same-sex marriage. They're for same-sex marriage. They're for abortion and so on. And by and large, the majority of the Presbyterian, Catholics and others groups in the north are in fact at one with us Catholics. For the first time, we have actually a source where we could unite. And the original idea of, in many ways, Republicanism was coming from Tone was Catholic, Protestant, and the centre. And in fact, I think that the short-sightedness actually of our political class, actually both Sinn Féin, North and South, and indeed also actually of our own political class, actually in not understanding that in many ways that we've lost that the original idea of Europe, which was for economic development, in fact has long changed. It was one of creating a federal kind of actually empire. And in fact, and as a result, not only have we lost our sovereignty over our economic affairs, we've also lost our sovereignty over our moral affairs. And in fact, actually, if in fact the British do leave, and because we have actually most of, they're our biggest actually partner, trading partner, and so on, and that it may eventually make economic sense, and I think actually maybe Europe will go down anyway. And eventually, if that happens, and we actually then actually there is actually a greater sense of understanding, because Britain has no actually, and they said this, they've no economic actually interest in Ireland. They've no actually border. In fact, they said that they don't want to actually put up a border. And if a border does go up, it will not be actually the United Kingdom. It'll be the EU. So I actually believe the short-sightedness of our political class, the short-sightedness of our church class, actually are missing actually a great opportunity, which would lead to the unity of Catholics and Protestants. And by the way, you know, there's a lot happening Reverend Ruth Patterson, you know, a Protestant minister, doing a lot of work on ecumenism and so on. And I recommend some books actually on that, on uniting in evangelism and defending Christian culture. Three books by a very, very a man who's inspired me and I only met recently, and that's actually the Reverend Pat Collins, who actually wrote a book, Gifted and Sent. It's a book actually that reminds us of our baptism and that we're all actually gifted and sent, and we're all to use that to bring people to Christ. And I think that, and another, he's written Gifted and Sent, another one, Encountering Jesus, and another book he has actually, and which is Prophecy. And he outlines actually means and methods actually of re-evangelization. Now, actually, there's somebody else has asked, how can we influence the Catholic Church to ensure that all bishops and priests only espouse Catholic and Christian doctrine and faith in an assertive way? That's actually, first of all, we have to pray to the Holy Spirit. We also actually have to be, first of all, alive in our own faith. And second of all, there is actually, in many ways, great lay movements, of which I'm actually a member of three. And one of them actually is the Knights of Columbanus here, whose motto is to restore all things in Christ. When I set up a junior presidium in Mount Merion, which was the only one actually practically in Dublin City. And actually in that, but it's actually totus tuus, the use of Our Lady, to guide us, you know, actually that, which is told us through everything, you know, through Our Lady and the Holy Spirit, that, that lay people will actually have to bring back our bishops and actually, in many ways, evangelise even our priests. And
Richard, yeah. That question came from me, and yeah. I think it was very, very important,
yeah,
just to point out that in evangelisation, the biggest single organisation which evangelised over centuries was the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And I know we have to set up organisations, but this is an organisation that's worldwide. And I was coming from the view that that organisation needs to be kept on its toes. And needs to, you know, I was trying to be constructive rather than very easy to condemn the past and the mistakes. Yeah. And there were terrible popes even hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
But where we're at the moment is an organization which is in charge of schools, giving away the ethos of Catholicism. And these are the people who are, I don't mean to be too negative, but these are the people who are the guardians of our faith. And they're the people who have been made priests and become bishops and to promote Catholicism and Christianity. And they're actually, in some cases, I would even go so far as to say, being heretical.
Yeah.
And they're not actually taking on board what the actual mission of the Church is, whether it is to schools, hospitals, or even teaching the faith to the next generation. And I just think that that organisation is the biggest, strongest vehicle that we can use to re-evangelisation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I take that point. And actually, as what David actually then made a good, one of his strategies was us. We may now have to rebuild. In many ways, no, the past wasn't perfect. The future is not perfect. And by the way, just actually, you mentioned that one of the great organisations, I wanted to mention the Legion of Mary, who actually do actually go out on the streets. But in many ways, and this is actually not, I'm an auxiliary, was actually, by the way, your father was a tremendous influence, president of the Mount Mary.
He's on his deathbed at the moment.
What?
He's on his deathbed.
Oh my God, I knew that. I'm sorry to hear that. I'll talk to you about that later, right? Okay. But he was a great influence. And what I want to say is that when Frank Duff died in 1980, it's like as if, and it's a habit of orders to do that, to actually put their founder or whatever, actually, who were often revolutionary, actually, in that, and wrap them, actually, and they don't have the same sort of vision, actually, in that. Like Frank Duff, just to give you how visionary he was. Number one, and your father and I actually, one of them had died out and we actually reworked it again in the 90s when there was a lot. He founded in the 30s actually, an organisation that had inter-dialogue between the Jews of Ireland and the Christians. He was so far ahead of his time. Actually, when we later know what happened, actually 10 or so years later, the persecution and the Holocaust and the Jews. And that actually, and he actually had that when there was quite a lot of Jews in Ireland. Your father, myself, and actually Father McMichael Carroll revitalised it with other actually legionaries and met in Rangar once a month. I often gave talks to it, and then it died out. The Jews now in Dublin and in Ireland are very little. That was one revue. He also had a group for dialogue with Islam, and the other thing was that in the 60s, in the late 60s, early 70s, Frank Duff there was a huge gathering. There was hundreds of people pouring out of a big mass. And somebody said to Frank, he said, and the late Father Herman told me this, actually, who was a friend, a passionist, who was a great friend of the Legion, a great friend of Frank Duff. And he said, Frank, he said, isn't it wonderful? Look at all over in different countries, actually throughout Europe, the faith is dying in France and so on. And look at the hundreds of people actually going to Mass and so on. And Frank Duff said, don't be fooled, he said. He said, I have a deep feeling that it's not very deep, not very much catechesis, and maybe quite a bit of superstition. And I feel that a puff of wind could blow it away. Well, the puff of wind did come, after all, as a poor, impoverished nation for, you know, for actually many, the first few decades and many of our existence as a new state, and for hundreds of years beyond. And then came the 90s and actually wealth and so on. And the puff of wind may have been the, you know, that. But Frank Duff actually foresaw that and that. But again, he set up a marvellous way of actually, you know, we have to go out and actually build. But oftentimes we have to rebuild and actually then see what we rebuild actually torn away. But we, but the evangelisation is the key. And in many ways, as I said again, we have to cooperate. Actually, we have a chance now to actually, and I hope it's not blown, to actually work closer with actually the Northern Brethren, where there was actually kind of sectarianism and so on, etc., etc., and to actually that to unite actually to build, as David said, a Christian culture, to build actually Christian organisations. In many ways, the church did that because they had the wealth, they had the knowledge to do it. But in many ways, that's not the church's role. The state's role really is to actually do that. But we actually may. But now, if the state is not doing it, and are being just de-Christianized, we may have to rebuild our own hospitals and so on.
Now, bring you back to a point that David made, that in the early Roman Empire, it was the ordinary lay Catholics did the evangelization by just meeting people and demonstrating their faith. And we have become too clerical orientated. We should think of the ordinary people as us. Catholics should be doing the evangelisation.
Yeah.
I just want to make one other point that I've left outside copies of the latest position paper with Cardinal Chaput's building a culture of religious freedom in a free to take at the door of it there. I know somebody already subscribed.
By the way, actually, just want to say Liam is actually also actually chairperson of the Family Solidarity, which I think actually in the very beginning with Dick Humphreys, myself and my wife and others, we actually used to have it in our house, and co-founders, a wonderful organisation, and he still actually sends out newsletters and so on about actually family matters and also what family organisations are doing throughout Europe. Would that be a proper assessment? And he does great work. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There was actually one question, actually, that do you think or feel that if we did things through the 1958 Holy Catholic Church under the guidance of Pope Leo instead of through the new Novus Ordo? I think that in many ways one of the most brilliant and most far-seeing of popes was in fact Pius X, and the motto of our order, actually, to restore all things in Christ, comes from Pius X. But Pius X, actually, to emergency, when people think of that, they think then that, he's of the past, that he's, you know, people, they think of conservative Catholics, etc., etc. He was one of the most remarkable, actually, minds, because it was him that foresaw a lot of the things that we've been talking about, secularism, masonry, actually, left-wing communism, right-wing fascism. He saw actually these ideologies that before they actually really got going. And so, and not only that, he was a most humble man, even though at the time actually he was Pope when the papacy was very powerful. They owned half of Italy and actually very powerful throughout the world in many countries. And he said actually, he was son of a cobbler, and he said, actually, my greatest wish, he said, I was born poor, and I wish, actually, to die poor. And not only that, he was also, today, the Eucharist, which, you know, and David is right, we must actually individually use the gifts of our baptism, call down the Holy Spirit, and actually go out and evangelise. And Pius X pioneered the fact of giving young people, actually, Holy Communion at 7. And he was inspired by a person apparently that may be a saint, actually a child saint, little Nelly, who was only 4 years of age, very old, and he actually heard of this, and he gave special permission for her to receive Holy Communion at 4, and then changed the rule worldwide for every child to be able to receive Holy Communion at 7. So actually, what I said, no, I think we have to actually think God is not in the. God, I just want to say this, and I finish with this. God is not actually in the past. God is not in the future, he's in the present. I am. And actually, each and every one of us are gifted and sent. I just want to say, if you want to actually know about evangelization, there's three, they've impressed me so much as Father Pat Collins, actually, his book on encountering Jesus. He's another book, actually, he's written one on prophecy, to actually understand how to, and a book that he wrote, which in many ways, all of what we discussed is in this, how to evangelize, actually, and all of that, Gifted and Sent by Pat Collins. And I'd recommend these. And then the final one, if you want the handbook of how to go out and evangelize in the streets, actually read actually Stephen Ott, The Missionary of Wall Street. It has actually, in many ways, it's kind of a handbook of actually how to do it, but also of the experiences that you meet, the rejections that you meet, the good things that you will meet, and so on, but how to do it. And actually, so it's a book well worth, The Missionary of Wall Street.